Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a five-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at rinse.com. That's RINSE.com.
I think it's just picking. I'm gonna go back.
Where's it coming from?
I'm gonna go behind the wall and cry really quick.
We're live now from the dumpster. Welcome to a very special episode of this, a very safety episode of the special third podcast.
A special third.
The special three. Like, we had to turn Nigel down so quiet we could barely hear him. It's okay.
That's better for everyone.
Well, no, the audience can still hear you. It's just Kevin and I can't hear you.
Oh, no.
Okay, and this week we're going to talk about several topics, such as Nigel visiting a country slightly less dangerous than the United States at this point.
Probably. Depends on where he goes.
Kevin ran over a deer. We got to come up with, we have to make shit up, we got to come up with exciting topics.
Yeah.
Blood everywhere.
Blood everywhere.
How long do you think you could talk about running over a deer? Completely made up scenario before you.
I could go all day. I could go for days.
And then I posted a video on the main channel. I remember the password. Do you hate it? I know that you forgot your password too.
Yeah.
You have like three
I'm going to comment. I finally remembered my password.
Yeah. Are you going to post all three videos that you finished? Like right when you figure out your password, or are you gonna?
No, I'm gonna. Once I finish this,
wait,
one,
you
I'm
finished
gonna
three videos.
He's got three videos. He just forgot his password. We talked about this.
I have three videos that are like halfway done.
No, that's the
what
joke.
What kind of squirrel activity is that?
Which one do we start with? The running over the deer, posting a video, or Brazil being?
Oh wait. I have another thing. I already asked you. I need you guys to help me fix a high voltage line.
I did already.
Well, it's not really.
Okay.
Can we do it live?
Yeah. Live?
Yes.
It's like operation.
Let's do it live.
Yeah, I get it. There's a Discord notification from Nigel on our Discord server, you know. Yeah. I can't believe I'm the person who responded to that.
Well, by the time I saw it, like by the time you guys already went through it, and I'm like, eh.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
That gives me confidence that I gave him a good answer.
Yeah.
What did you ask? You were like,
well, because I have I bought a device, a large machine.
When you say device or machine, in
a tremendous apparatus.
Yeah, for my ass. It's like, yes, it makes it sound like you bought a giant sex toy.
I'm building it up. A large wieldy device. yeah, like I like Kevin's tremendous apparatus. No, it's a scanning electron microscope.
Oh, shit.
So the problem was, God, it was, I feel like, I don't know why, I've just gotten used to like picking up stuff that you spend a lot of money on and you just kind of, there's like faith that it's going to work.
What a humble brag.
No. I'm saying I meant more, you pick up stuff that you paid a lot of money on, but you have to suppress the fear that it's never going to work and that you wasted all your money.
I think that there's something wrong with a couple of those ideas. Like, spent a lot of money and it might not work usually is not how Facebook Marketplace purchases should go.
What do you mean?
If you spend a lot of money on something, you're doing that for the guarantee that it works.
Yeah.
Okay, so I should preface this. I spent compared to the cost of an electron microscope, I spent very little. But for somebody who knows nothing about electron microscopes, how they work, how they function, how you put them together, I thought I was going to show up and they would just, it says on the thing, just you get just the microscope. So I was like, oh, cool. It's just the microscope on this like thing. Then we show up and there's like a desk unit with it and there's wires everywhere. And they're like, oh, there's two other pallets of stuff we need to give you. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on.
Where did you buy this? Like an online auction?
The Canada one?
From the Canadian government.
Yeah. Nice.
How much was it?
So it makes, it was 7K Canadian. So it's like, it's,
yeah.
It's, and
there
it was,
people bidding on it?
Yeah, there were.
Okay, that makes
but
sense.
But it, if you look, the same microscopes on eBay for like parts and not working for twice the price in US dollar. So it's like, it is a good deal.
Yeah.
And it comes with, worst case scenario, I'm like, if it didn't work, I could take parts out and it would kind of be worth it because it has like a turbo pump and other stuff in it. But basically, there's no instructions. There's no installation manual, and they just kind of like threw it at us. It was actually a horrible experience.
They were like,
we showed up.
We need floor space. Take this right now.
Yeah.
Like straight up, we showed up and the electron microscope was on like an electric pallet jack, just sitting on it. And this big desk thing was tethered to it with strapping.
Oh, geez.
And we pull up with this truck and they're like, okay, we'll load it in the truck. And we're like, how do you get it off the electric pallet jack? It's just sitting on it. And they're like, oh, we don't know.
They didn't put it on a pallet?
So that was part of it. We had to like convince them to put it on a pallet because we're like, this is literally like, impossible to put in the truck.
This
yeah.
And do the thing,
eight
the thing
long.
Tethered with the wire. Yeah, it's like 8 feet. You can't, it's like.
I know exactly what you're talking about because there's a guy, Daps, that's moving and he has one of those tables. It's like 8 feet long, 2 feet wide. It weighs 350 pounds just for the table. It's like solid aluminum, like, you know, extrusion beams. And I'm like, I don't want it. It's too big.
But either way, the long story short is I got all the stuff and there's no instructions, but I spent on Friday, I played the game, which works very well, which is just plug things in where they fit. And so I was able to plug a lot of things in until I got to, we took everything apart and I realized like, I was like, okay, this makes sense. The high voltage lines, except apparently when they dismantled it, they stripped a screw on one of the grounding ones, the grounding thing. So they just cut the wires. So they just cut all the grounding wires. And I'm like, why? Yeah. Why?
There's no reason.
Thankfully it's not the actual like 20 kV line that they cut. So it's just a grounding wire, but I have to like re-splice it. And I know nothing about high voltage.
That's definitely the easiest line to fix.
Yeah.
Because like ground, dude, you know what? I think that nobody actually knows what ground is. Even electricians don't know what ground is, right? Like, why are there three plugs on your outlet? This is just like an outlet that goes to the wall, yeah? No, it's the, what is the plug?
Probably earth ground.
Earth ground to what, though? To the chassis?
Basically, the high voltage, I'm assuming it's like, it's the high voltage, I don't even know if the right terminology, multiplier or whatever. So it just like boosts it to the 20 kV.
DC.
So the entire, sorry?
Probably DC.
Yeah, it's DC, I'm assuming. But it's like the entire board is just plastic. It's just covered in plastic.
Yeah.
So there's only like two exposed things. One is like just a little grounding screw that you can put like a little, you put the screw through the eyelet and screw it in. Mm. And then one's the 20 kV one. And that's basically it. So those are the only exposed pins, but the grounding wire's cut. So I have to like reconnect
the high voltage
to the part
ground
that has the
wire. Is perfectly safe as long as it's touching ground.
Yeah.
That's basically the rule of grounding wires is like if the grounding wire is touching ground, it is at a 0 volt potential. If the grounding wire is not touching ground, it's not at a 0 volt potential. So it's like, if you do a good job splicing it, you could just crimp it or solder it. But if it was to fall apart for whatever reason, now it's no longer safe.
So yeah,
that's kind of like
it becomes some fraction of voltage between 0 and 20,000.
Yeah, it's the 20,000 volts wanting to go to ground.
Yeah,
so you like, well, if that's even how it works.
Well, then
like,
if you get between that, then
you become the conductor, and you're a pretty small resistor relative
And I heard that touching 20 kV
probably heard.
Lines is not good.
No.
Well, it's probably super, super, super low current.
Probably. If it's, well, probably. Yeah, what about like a capacitance? Like,
it does, it's like, it'd be the output stage of a voltage multiplier. So you're talking like yeah. picofarads.
Yeah, but how many mega amps?
For a split second?
Mega amps.
When I built my laser cutter, I was always kind of surprised by the current meters because the current meter has to be in line with the voltage, which means you have...
yeah.
That seems like sort of shady, right?
It does. Yeah, you should... Shouldn't you have like some kind of...
Right? Because now you're routing your high voltage ground through your front panel. So like if you hit the front panel with a hammer and it broke that connection, now you have like your 20 volt output at the user. Like, so I'm assuming in actual machines, I would pray they have some sort of like... remote sensor that brings the readout to the front and the readout's done digitally or something. But what happened was my grounding wire like just went straight to the aluminum frame. So it's like the 20,000 volt DC power supply goes to the laser tube and then the output of the laser tube goes to ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so the laser tube is just like like a resistor, you know?
Yeah.
And then the ground got loose off of the frame. And so it broke the circuit. And I didn't realize this for the longest time because the laser cutter was just working.
Oh, perfect.
And so what was happening, and I probably wasn't getting all my you know, beams. Optical watts out of the laser because it was grounding through the air. So it was going from the ground to the aluminum frame of the laser cutter.
It was like arcing?
It was arcing. And so the wire was like burned. The frame was burned. Like, there's these little arc marks on it. Like that's, I'm pretty sure, how it operated for most of the time it was running.
So what you're telling me is, the stakes are low.
The stakes are super low. That's why I asked if it was in a metal box, right? So
it is. It's in like a double shell metal. Yeah.
It's ground. If your ground is not touching ground, it'll arc to ground, which is a metal box, which means your metal box is now ground.
Okay. I think because my idea was just solder the, like strip it a bit, solder them together, and then just put some like high insulation tape around it, and then heat shrink it to hold it in place.
That's, I think, totally fine, because then like the insulation is actually maybe less about insulation and more about just like maybe adding some strain relief and extra strength to the outside.
Yeah,
I guess the part that, because like the other thing too is when I was looking at the pieces, I remember I got scared at first because I just, coming out of the electron microscope where they just bare wire, like not bare wires, they're like the little eyelets. But they were covered in caulking. And I was like, what the hell is this for? Then when I found out where it was connected to, it's because once you screw it into the high voltage board, you have to, I mean, I guess maybe they don't have to, but they put silicone insulation caulking over it. So I guess it wouldn't arc to the...
How close are the terminals?
They're pretty far apart, but probably, I mean, they're probably spatially like the terminals. You mean between the ground and the...
Yeah, or between the high voltage line and... Like terminal and anything else,
probably like to the box is like 2 centimeters.
That's
ground is like 5 centimeters.
We edging?
Yeah, you're. Yeah, you should probably caulk it.
Yeah.
So I
think there's some caulk.
I found some stuff.
I prefer the white caulk. What color?
Oh, is that a joke? Because they did put, it was white caulk on it.
The high voltage supply, the Spellman high voltage supply I have, it's the high voltage output. So that like everything is ground. There is like actual ground port, but like ground, it's all ground. The high voltage input is like 9 inches into the machine.
It's like it uses a coax cable and it's like you remove the outer layer and it slides. Yeah.
It's like the HDPE like sleeve, and then that slides like deep into the machine. I think like you basically high voltage, you almost have to treat like waterproofing except for electricity. Like, because high voltage, when you get above, I don't know. I mean, probably like a couple thousand volts, and especially when you're at like 20,000 volts, it almost is... if you are trying to use electronics underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine you have a circuit board and you just stick it in salt water and you're trying to use it. Like, it's just not going to work. Like, you have to, everything has to be, like, basically waterproof.
Yeah. Like, especially, like, 20 kV, because you get, like, corona discharge also. And then you start getting, like, you know, if it's high frequency, you start just getting, you know, high frequency DC, high voltage DC. You start getting, like, a charge building up on everything, too.
like the opposite of ground.
Yeah, it just like appears.
Like it's like a voltage just like in the air. And so if you have connectors close to each other and you don't like basically waterproof the outputs,
yeah,
they're just gonna like they can be right next to each other if they're like waterproof.
And everything around it has to be properly grounded too, because it'll start picking up that charge. It'll become like, you know.
And then stuff on the outside becomes a charged capacitor. And then that starts arcing. And it's like, how is it getting through? And it's like, it's not getting through. It's just.
It's a field.
When you buy the box, someone set it up already and it works and I never have to look inside.
There's this guy.
Unfortunately,
that
I had
Twitter,
to. Now I have to deal with these issues. Yeah.
He does electron microscope repair. And I'll send you his contact info or his like Twitter handle, because he's really good. This is like all he does. And he convinced me not to buy a used electron microscope. You should have talked to him first.
Why did, what was the reasoning?
Just they're a hassle. They take up a lot of space and
probably just never works.
Yeah.
Like even if you get it working, it never works.
Of maintenance, like replacing. So you have to like metallize whatever you want to image to. So you need to like sputter gold onto.
What are you trying to measure or look at?
The target.
Is there, there's a joke in here somewhere. I can't quite, I'm not, if anyone.
It depends. Okay, so I mean, I'll just answer your question. Basically, one thing I've been making is ferrofluid, like making the nanoparticles. So it's very useful to be able to visualize that stuff. I can always send it to a lab or take it to a local lab. But when I saw the SEM for sale, I was like,
this
is exactly
the narration
of
the video.
It's
like, I want to measure this. So I could send it to a lab, but I was on a government deal auction website and I saw one for sale. I thought I would do it myself. And then 90% of the video is fixing the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I had the
other one,
I would get one. So, like, I get it.
The smart thing would have been to send it to a lab, but instead I bought my own.
The other thing is, I want to make, I'm working on some carbon nanotube stuff. The problem is, you can't tell if it's amorphous carbon or nanotubes by any normal optical microscopy. Like you need to actually do like electron microscopy.
You have to metallize that.
But I don't. So the one that I got, actually, I don't actually know what it means. It's the, I'll just look it up. It's a cold field.
That's just for like organic things. Like,
Like
a bee.
I feel like an electron microscope is like a boat. You want a friend with an electron microscope?
Yeah, for sure.
You don't want an electron microscope.
Well, we have one now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I literally cannot think of one thing I would send
him
to
look
at. Genuinely don't know.
You don't have one yet, Kevin. It's like your friend just bought a boat, but it has a lot of holes in it. And no, I think the machine actually works fine.
No, that's a great analogy, because we have one of
a
those in the yard
holes.
Right now.
That's my dad's. So. This place has just become like a shit trash magnet. It's cursed.
You know what's the bigger problem with this SEM more than anything?
What? The owner?
Yeah, that's terrible. I think it actually works. Like, I think there's fundamentally nothing wrong with the core of the SEM, and it came with all the peripherals. The problem is it didn't come with one single extremely important peripheral.
Yeah.
The computer.
Oh,
with
no.
With all the software.
You actually might be turbo fricked.
Yeah. So
if you're buying stuff online, especially for that much money, here, let me tell you, there's a secret. Here's a secret.
It's actually
an open secret. You're paying exactly for what you get. And if you're finding these machines online for more money, it's probably because they do come with a computer with
the
software on them.
Most of them don't come with computers.
Are you sure?
Like ones.
The ones that sell for twice the money?
Yeah. And they say explicitly like either broken and you can literally see the things like beaten up. Or they just go, they didn't test it. A lot of them explicitly say, like, no computer.
I know what I've got energy.
I don't know.
I mean, it's just on eBay. So I didn't look too deep into it. I should be able to do it.
The printer we bought, the like 60-inch printer, is one of those dangerous purchases where the software will make or break your experience. And I was having trouble getting, because the Windows, like when the print drivers and stuff, it asks you what kind of paper you're using. And for some reason, they don't give you like 60-inch roll as an option. And so I'm like sitting there trying to figure out, and they go, apparently you can make a custom paper sizes.
Yeah.
And because I want, you know, I wanted to like, I want this printer making 60-inch wide prints. And it's like sort of terrifying when you get this deep into it. You know, I've spent like a couple $100s on replacement ink cartridges, which is actually really cheap for how much they do cost, or the print heads. And I'm like, oh God, oh shit. Like, yeah. Am I not going to be able to print directly? Because I found, so like if you go to the IP address of the printer on your network, it has a UI. And you can upload images to print, right? So I did that, and it's like unsupported file format. And so I'm like, all right, maybe it needs like a TIFF. So I do that, and it's like unsupported. I'm like, oh God, oh geez, oh God, here we're like, what's happening? And so I finally downloaded the HP like one click or whatever the hell they call it, which is sort of print directly to the computer.
Okay.
And I saw some stuff where it was like see in store on the page, and it's not like here's a piece of software, download it. I'm like, what do you mean see in store?
See in store.
And so I click on it, and it was just like selling computers. So I think, I don't know, I think their website's just super shit.
Oh, it's like all those links are dead now.
Yeah, kind of.
That,
yeah,
that were part of that software.
Well, no, just on the HP website right
on their
now.
Website. Yeah, so it links to something.
Yeah,
else.
It's like every product has a see in store like link to it, because they just like have a default format for the product. And so like,
now,
even if it's a free software download, it still says see in store, and like just takes you to the HP store. It was free, and it didn't make me make an account.
Ooh.
And it just printed. But if it had been like, you know, like a $300 piece of software they force you to buy, it's like, oh, you bought our, you know, $15,000 $17,000 printer
subscription.
Yeah, now, oh, by the way, here's this piece of software, but it's a trial and you have to buy, like that would not surprise me at all. And so with stuff like this, that's my biggest like terror is software. Even Ben Krasnow did the, he has that X-ray panel, right? The image panel. Like the huge image sensor.
Yeah, those are like 12, 15.
Yeah. Oh, 30, no, 30. They're $30,000 new. Yeah. So every time you buy, if you like see an X-ray table on like a auction website, it never comes with the cartridges.
Yeah.
Guess how he got his working? Ben Krasnow.
He pretended to be a real company?
Nope. Somebody saw him post about it and sent it to him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Or just a whole computer.
No, just a guy sent him the software.
Nice.
Because it's like, you can't, if you email them, they'll just say no.
Yeah. Like they'll stonewall you.
They won't even respond.
Classic.
Okay. With that being said,
you might be turbo fricked, bro.
No, here's my shot. Anybody out there?
You're going to have to learn.
Yeah. What's the model number?
With Hitachi S4700 SEM software for Windows XP. Please help me.
Have you looked at all for it?
Kind of. Basically, my friend reached out to Hitachi, and they were already a little bit skeezy. Because my friend was like, we're trying to put it together. Can you just send us like the installation manual so we can like know what certain...
Dude, you gotta just lie and social engineer. You'd be like, oh, we have this, we're rebuilding it. We need a manual.
Do you still have your old
university email?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. No, I didn't even know my friend reached out, but
it's like a .gov.
Can you? How do you
actually have
I don't know. I get them all the time though, so I'm assuming there's a way.
We're gonna talk to the guy on Wednesday, but it was funny because my friend asked, like, hey, can you send us the installation manuals? He's like, no, we don't share those. He's like, but I can hop on a call and like help you out. And I'm like, oh no, this is already a bad sign. It's okay. We plugged in anything. There's only two plugs that we don't know what they do. Everything else kind of fit in, you know, it's just a more complicated, you know, fitting squares into square holes and circles into circle holes.
The only thing worse than a $400 piece of software getting in between you and using the hardware you already own is them not even being willing to sell you the software.
I mean, the thing that makes me
junk at that point.
The thing that makes me angrier is less that what's it called? That they're not willing to give it. I should say this. That is exactly what makes me angry. It's not that I would understand if this was like a 1 year old thing and they were like, oh, we don't really want to give it because it's, you know, something. This electron microscope is 20 years old. They don't sell it anymore. Mm. The software is completely valueless to them.
Wait. And you want it like, for Windows XP?
Because I don't think it theoretically can run probably compatibility mode for like Windows 7.
When did
but it's like
no, you might though. Well, I don't want to say anything. I keep going.
So my faith, okay? This is what gives me faith, okay? When I go to sleep at night, it's the thing that keeps me going. There's a website.
The only thing stopping me from jumping to my death is this one thing.
There's a website that sells refurbished stuff. And so what they did is they refurbished the whole desk portion, I guess, of the SEM, which was just kind of a pain in the ass. And they put it in a nice box. But they also put a more modern desk. And it explicitly states Windows 11 Hitachi S47 refurbished. So they have somehow put it on Windows 11, so it's doable. And somebody knows something about how to do this.
You know what's funny about all of this? The funniest part of this whole fucking debacle is if you got a scanning electron microscope and you had to make your own system to read it, it would be better to get one from the 80s than the early 2000s. It's like an old car, right? Like if you had to fix your car, you want to fix a car from the 80s, 70s. You don't want to fix a car from, 2018 or 2025. God forbid, dude. No. If you had to get into your Tesla to fix anything, that would be a nightmare.
I'm trying to find this electron microscope thing on Twitter.
If this microscope, if you cannot get the software working, which I pray you can, you literally have to throw it in the trash or spend 4 years of your life learning how every part of it works.
So my basic, this is like, I was going to say my worst case scenario. I'm going to say it positively, but it might come across as terrible. I was going to say worst case scenario, if I don't get it working, I'll just strip the whole thing down and build my own electron microscope.
No, no, no. This is what you should do.
Yes.
No. This is a bad idea. It's like, this is the right answer. You got enough clout to like reach out to some of these places that do resell
and
them
beg.
And repair them. No, just say that like you need this. Here's your problem. Here's my YouTube channel. Just help me with the software pipeline. It costs them nothing.
He has said enough already. Somebody will help Nigel.
They will. People email me trying to reach to help you.
Somebody is sitting at their desk tweaking right now. They're like frantically typing in an email to
senpai,
it actually senpai. They've probably already sent it by now.
Oh my god,
they're just gonna send you copy and paste what they asked ChatGPT.
Oh, the monkey's paw.
You love that.
I hope somebody can help me. 10,000 ChatGPT emails.
It's useless garbage. I just want to let you know I asked ChatGPT like I can't do that myself. Anyways,
it's okay. I have faith. I believe it'll work. Everything seems in good condition. It's all plugging in.
Mm-hmm. You haven't even gotten to the part where something will go wrong yet.
The only minor complication is we have no computer and the plug that I assume interfaces with everything. I have no idea what it is. And it might
be proprietary. Remember the time you bought the high voltage coil from a thrift store and you plugged it in and it exploded?
Oh, yeah.
Have you plugged it into your machine in yet?
That's another part of the problem, but I can solve
what?
That. No,
what
basically,
do you mean that's a part of the problem?
No. I was so basically it's a very minor problem. It's
it
a very
fine.
Minor problem. The if so the machine runs on 100 volts and it's 4 kilowatts. So it means that I have to have just a very high amperage 100 volt line.
What? What?
Don't you, dude, you've got like the weirdest voltage stuff. Like, didn't you just buy some, the helium
like
compressor thing that wants.
Yeah,
200.
No, that makes sense though.
Need a giant transformer with just like a bunch of taps on it.
What? Where does 100 volts come from?
Yeah.
I think it's because that's what, do they run that in Japan?
No.
And
Japan is like,
yeah, they do.
Yeah, they're like the same as us.
No,
well,
no,
us
I think
and...
it's 100. I think it's, it's 100. Standard voltage in Japan's 100.
What happens
so
if you plug...
It's a Hitachi. So they just made, they Japanese-ified it. And they're like, you know what? You want to plug it in North America? I hope 110 works.
Everything you're getting is 20% like over or under what a normal voltage is.
At least the 110 is 10%. Okay? At least I can feed it with 110 and I'm only over...
110 is enough...
Okay.
Of a margin to make me think that it might just work.
Yeah.
What's the first thing that it's connected to in the machine?
What do you mean?
What's the first thing that 110 touches?
I think you'll be pleased to know it is the power supply.
Okay. It might work. It might be fine.
Yeah.
It might not be, but it might be.
I would look at the power supply. That itself might be rated, you know.
Yeah. It probably has
sometimes it's maybe between 90 and 130.
If
volts.
I was a scanning electron microscope engineer, the last thing I would be doing is building a custom power supply. Right? Right?
Yeah.
Right.
They probably have, you know, it's Hitachi. They probably have like
modules.
Modules.
They threw a module in there, which I'm one, the best part of this is it's easy to replace. B, it should be more robust than if they made it specifically for the machine.
I think 110 is okay. Kevin, you're referring to the helium thing when you said it's like weird. Basically, it's just because everything here, I don't know how it is in the US, in an industrial setting, you'll only have 208. You won't have 220 because that's like house. The problem is most stuff works fine, but specifically the helium compressor says do not put 208 in. Because you will break the machine.
208 versus what?
220. They were like, basically, if you go.
220 is one phase, though, right? 220 is one phase, and then 308.
It's all three phases. This is all three phases.
No, 220 is 220 you three can do, phase?
That's what it wants. It actually was weirder, too. It says 220/230, and I was like,
apparently, the 120 that we use, or what is it? What at the 110. Is it 115? I've seen them all.
It's 120.
Yeah, it could be 120.
It's between it's
all. 120
it,
like house.
Down, right?
No.
And why did it
should always be
115? Where do you see
I don't know what that comes from, but
is
it's
this like more blue collar worker shit? Okay. Thank you.
I think it, from what I understand, because it's like, I mean, this is my limited knowledge. It's like 120, if you outlet in the wall, should be, I think here it's like 118.
Yeah, so
it's
so
like,
the way that works,
it can sometimes
is
be
you have hot,
low.
And you have ground, which is neutral.
And neutral.
Which is ground. No.
Yeah, ground slash. Yeah.
Welcome to the world of what the fuck is going on. Neutral and ground are continuous. They're like they share continuity. So neutral is ground.
Depending on your system, though.
So your wall outlets are like, they're not even one phase. They're like half of one phase. I've researched this, so I'm pretty sure that this is how it goes because I was trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
220 here, and I love how 240 here is one phase, full phase.
Yes.
So what you see in a 110 breaker box is like one half of 240, but there's two halves, so they split it. So you get, you can have two circuits coming off of one 240 line.
Yeah.
So when you say 220, this is so bad, dude, because 220 doesn't say anything. It just says 220 volts. Is that what does it look like? How many wires?
It gets super complicated here, especially because it's like in the industrial setting, it's like, where is your voltage coming from? So it's just like, I don't know how, it's like, it depends. Like everything comes in as 600 three phase, but then they put it through the transformer and I believe it outputs at 208 three phase. And then you're only pulling one leg from that and you'll get 110 from that, I think.
Yeah. So when we do power for open source, everything is 208. So a 208 line comes in and it gets split off into three circuits. So I think that we get, it's like four wires, I think. So one of them is ground, and then the rest are the phase.
Could just be hots.
The legs of the phase, the hots. Yeah, exactly. So it's all hots. All hots, no neutrals.
So that's delta, three phases.
Yeah,
delta.
But it gets super confusing because I should say this, when the 600 volts comes in, I believe there is no neutral.
Yeah, because neutral is just
the
ground.
Transformer makes the neutral.
But then why do they make neutral if neutral is just ground?
It's neutral is because, like, as Kevin's saying, there's delta and then Y. Keep in mind, my knowledge of this is pretty lame, but like the Y configuration, artificially, you can create a neutral from it. because of how I don't honestly how like it's how the Transformers set up. You can create a neutral reference to like each leg.
This is horseshit,
which means
right?
that.
Oh yeah, no, that's what's Delta. You can do like the neutral would go in the middle of the star. That would be like the kind of the fake neutral.
Okay, I forget which one it is, but it's like basically you can then pull that neutral and compare it to each leg. Yeah, it's why I thought it was why.
Yeah. Just stick to what we know. We know what ground is. Ground is the earth, and the earth is a potential. And so we're taking your voltage of your wall outlet, and we're saying that this is your ground reference. So if there's extra electrons in the ground, that now becomes 0 volts, and it doesn't matter. Because if you have a negative of electrons in the ground and a positive of electrons somewhere else, what happens? Lightning, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't have an actual ground, like if you're not grounded to the earth, you might actually end up with all the lines coming into your house having a high potential to ground, and like that's what's dangerous. Imagine you plug your toaster into the outlet and you throw it in the bathtub, and it's not just the hot line, it's the hot and the neutral line zapping you. Because it's making its way to ground because there's like a potential from your outlet to earth.
Yeah.
And so what they do, this is what ground does. Ground basically, it rips your outlet potential down to earth. So the largest the potential will ever be is between hot and earth. It will never, or hot and neutral. Like that's the largest potential will be between the two wires.
Yeah.
You will never have a potential between the two wires and earth.
Yeah. So the electricity should never make it out of the toaster case.
Through anything other than hot.
Yeah.
The ground.
Yeah, yeah. From like the heating element to the case.
Yeah.
Because the case is
grounded.
And
ground is earth. It like the ground gets rid of like static shock, quote unquote.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, my understanding was that the ground is just like if you do what you do and didn't wire it right and you're arcing to the box so that when you touch it, you don't get zapped, right?
Yeah.
But it's not meant to actually carry anything.
No. Yeah. I mean, no, unless yes, which yes is like a dangerous situation. It going through ground is the way it's detected.
Hmm.
That's what your GFCI. So your GFCI out in your bathroom. The reason you get those little clicky reset outlets in wet areas is because if you have hot, which is the black wire on your power outlet, if it goes from the outlet to your toaster to your bathtub drain, it will then complete the circuit through ground.
Yeah.
Which means there's power coming out of the hot wire, the two long plugs on your outlet, not the little round ground plug. You have electricity coming out from one.
Mm-hmm.
And where does it leave? Does it leave through the neutral or the ground plug? No, it leaves through the bathtub drain. So a GFCI outlet basically says, hey, there's power coming out of hot and it's not going back through neutral.
Yeah.
And it clicks off. It's essentially like it detects a leak.
Yes.
And then it turns your toaster off or your hairdryer, whatever the hell you're trying to eat yourself with.
Your bidet.
Your bidet. Bro, now two lights turn on.
Wait,
the hell is
light? It's sound activated.
Is it actually?
Ah!
Oh my god!
Ah! Why is that happening?
Ah!
The light above us is like a party light.
Kevin, we're going crazy.
I just flashbanged myself.
That's why it was so cheap. How do we turn that off?
Is it supposed to do that?
That's not how I set the lights up. I want it to look like the sun was on us, like we're in a trash can in the open sun.
That's a really bright light.
It is, and then there were two on. Well, it's, yeah.
But I was just going to say that the complication with my helium compressor is just that it doesn't like 208, so it needs to be boosted, like, at least 12 volts.
Wait, what's
just
the
so
voltage
it doesn't
coming
overtax.
In
I think
from
Thomas
your...
Edison was right. We should have done everything DC.
What's the voltage that comes into your shop?
600.
We talk about taxes?
No.
Okay. DC, Thomas Edison, what, they killed an elephant with AC power? Right? It was like the nerd
the
wars.
It, yeah.
Yeah.
So Tesla wanted AC. Edison wanted DC.
Yeah.
That's some boomer shit, honestly. But I do to some extent agree that like DC is literally used everywhere in your house nowadays anyways. Like
I know it's like yeah
just give me 12 volt like car outlets in my house instead of this AC bullshit,
but give me three phase pulse,
but like three
DC.
Phase oh god
what
like three
what?
Phase AC has to be better for motors, right?
The what,
like you're gonna get I don't know. My knowledge
AC
is pretty
better
limited
for motors, but
yeah,
AC is better for a lot of things. It's worse for almost more things, like your average house. Like,
but like
how much
power
stuff in your
transmission
house uses AC? Like
nothing.
Three things.
Like, the microwave and that's it. The microwave, the turntable motor, and the magnetron.
Maybe your refrigerator. But even then, like your
refrigerator
doesn't really need to use AC.
Your,
but
like, a lot of the your new
fridges
oven
have like
your
a,
oven.
A,
no.
Hmm?
No. Your oven.
If it's electric?
If it, yeah.
If it's electric, if elements it's an electric oven, maybe. But like if it's a gas oven, it's just powering a control board that
a lot
gets
of the,
converted
the
to
new
DC
fridges, they use a, like, a, you know.
Inverted pump?
Inverter.
So it gets converted to DC anyways.
So it,
or it gets
it's like a three,
anyways.
Yeah, yeah, three phase.
So it's like if you're going to have all these driving electronics, you might as well just go full DC. Like,
well,
yeah,
I mean, machines, three phase too.
Yeah.
It's
so
just
because
obviously the power transmission starts as AC, right? So then you're just converting
yeah
it at
the power transmission is what you want to be AC, but like, oh, when you go to charge your car, your electric car, oh, it's putting AC into the batteries?
No.
No!
I hope not.
Exactly. So it's like you're rectifying it anyways pretty much everywhere in your house. Like I genuinely cannot think of a single thing other than maybe like an air conditioner, but even then the nice ones are inverting that have drivers. So it's like maybe a cheaper air conditioner uses AC directly.
So I mean, for really big power transfer, like, you know, undersea cables, they do high voltage DC.
Really?
Yeah.
That's actually more efficient. Because I think that the part about AC is this is really easy to switch up and down. Because
you get like the skin effect at like, you know, 60 hertz or whatever. So if you have like these big cables, it actually eats up a significant amount of power, I think. I think that's why they do it.
Well, that's why they do it. That's why transmissions lines are like such high voltage and so high in the air is that. It's you can basically pump your voltage up so that you have a shit ton of volts and almost no current.
Yeah.
Because current is where you lose energy from, right? It's like it's the electricity flowing through a wire, like the number of electrons or whatever current is flowing through the wire is where you lose power. So if you have a high voltage, you know, because power equals volts times current.
Mm-hmm.
And so the power flowing through the wire or the man, how do we do this?
It so, just
yeah,
gonna,
no, there's no way to explain this without getting.
I was gonna say
even,
it conceptually makes sense to me, but it I have to admit
it'd be
it
like
doesn't.
You just think of it like water. Like if you have a lot of water and it's under really low pressure in a giant hose, like you can move a lot of water. It's a lot of energy. You can move a lot of energy. But if you have a very narrow hose with a very, 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 very small amount of water under incredibly high pressure, you can still move energy.
Yeah, like the same amount.
Right. And so like with electricity, it works the same way. It's like you can have a very small tube with a very high pressure, which is the voltage. And so you can still move the most amount of energy, but it's way more efficient. You don't lose as much power in the tube.
Yeah. The tube doesn't have to be as big.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Basically, that's why it's high voltage.
But when you still get really high voltage, you just get electricity pissing out of everything.
Yeah. That's why they
They'll glow at night.
That's scary.
Purple. Yeah.
But I was going to say, though, because you were saying Edison and Tesla,
Edison,
they were
fighting
they
each
were
other.
Battling.
Yeah.
But in the end, it turned out that both are good. They should have just
collaborated. Both are good, and they were right for probably the wrong reasons.
Why can't we just have more people getting along, man? Why is it all going to be a competition?
It's like, why do electricians have to wire in 110 outlets when every device you plug into it drops it down to 5 and 12 volts anyway? Like, God damn it. Just put barrel jacks everywhere. Yeah, even like with solar and stuff, it makes it so much worse, right? Like everything, like, dude, this
dude,
is what
barrel
me
jacks?
Next.
That's huge.
But the outside outlets is positive and the inside's ground. You get a solar panel, it makes 12 volts. And then you have to convert it to AC to get into your house. And then you plug your phone charger, which brings it down to 5 volts. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to plug your laptop into your car, you have to get an inverter to boost your car battery up to 110. And then you plug the power supply, which then drops it down to like 20 volts AC or DC. So it's like, we go from DC to AC to DC. It's like, just make everything DC,
like,
damn it.
12 volts.
All this extra electronics when you could just use really, really simple converters.
It is. It's annoying.
It's
when you,
so stupid.
You know when you build something and you start needing like a chain of like little buck and boost modules?
Yeah.
And
like, you have buck converters and then you're like, but I need a boost and you got to order on Amazon. They look the same and you like didn't realize this one didn't do that.
I don't know why that reminds me because I don't work too much with like electronic stuff, but it reminds me when you have to like fit one fitting to another, but then you're like sitting in Home Depot and you're just like screwing a chain of fittings together to try to bridge the gap between the two things that you have.
I did that the other day. I was like hooking up the coffee machine to the RO water. And I bought, you know, when you buy tubes and shark bite fitting, or sorry, I say shark bite trademark. This is like the Chinese shark bite ones.
Yeah.
Everything you buy on Amazon for little tubes, like 6 millimeter, like quarter inch tubes.
Metric.
It's metric.
They're going to be, they're going to be metric.
When you go to Home Depot and you're like, oh, I just need one fitting, and you go and you buy it and it doesn't fit.
Here's the worst part. It does, but it leaks.
Because that's, so it's like, dude, that's just absolute nightmare. I don't know why. Why do they do that? You know, when you, here's a tip. Go on McMaster Car, download the 3D models of the press fitting, the barbed fittings, and just print them, and they work well enough.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't put them in your walls.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a five-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at rinse.com. That's RINSE.com.
So I posted my video. Feels good.
Yay.
Are you jealous?
Yeah. Are you still riding the high?
I bet it does feel good.
But also at the same time, it feels kind of bad because I realized, like, you know, the video does okay, but it kind of makes me feel that like science and engineering content is less appealing than it used to be.
Less cool. We're not cool anymore.
No, I think that it's not that we're not cool. I think it just collectively
people have seen everything. Yeah, they're jaded.
Kind of. Yeah, because I've noticed like everybody's videos are doing kind of worse. Like not horrible. Like it's not bad. I can't complain. But I definitely. There's a couple of things that I think have scared me a little bit with this past video. It's like one of the videos in a while where I've been like just sort of happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it still was a lot of work, but it's sort of doing not as good as I would have hoped. And I've seen a lot of other people's videos do not as good as you would think. Even like Mark's videos seem to be slowing down.
I was just about to ask, like, he's a pretty good litmus test. How's Mark doing?
But a lot of the views not come good. From all the translations, right? So they translate it to all these different languages. True. Like, we're not tapping into, you know, a Japanese market or, you know, like a Spanish market because people have to watch with subtitles or they need to know English. And a lot of people like Mr. Beast and Mark, they're translating stuff. Like you can go and look on the videos and choose different languages.
Yeah.
It's like any of the videos that we're in on Mark's channel, we have a Japanese translator. Like
I've seen that.
And so we sound like, it's like, you know, it makes me feel like I'm watching an anime, except we're the characters. And I kind of like the second thing is I haven't seen a whole lot of like up and coming science channels. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I would say I have seen videos that I didn't think would do as good as they did with, you know, a lot of views, like millions of views.
But where's the creator? Where's the channel?
Like, you know, the guy that made the clear katana, invisible sword, that guy.
Does that count?
What do you mean?
Is that really science engineering?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, he makes things.
He has like a maker channel more though.
Like Jake Laser.
Yeah, but Jake did like the flying Iron Man thing. It's more like,
Definitely. Yeah. But this is like how Jake, I would say how he started out.
Yeah.
Is by doing these simple builds. But also when I saw that video, I'm like, okay, is not invisible. I felt clickbaited, yeah. But yet he still had a ton of views and nobody seemed to care.
They didn't care. I when I saw that, I did think that I was like, I wouldn't do that. Like I would feel like I did something wrong if I did it like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or it's like I made a clear thing and it was really not clear. Because even the beginning of that video, there's like special effects masking and stuff used.
Yeah.
To like mask out the sword when he's cutting through something. I'm pretty sure it's that one.
So I feel like that kind of content is harmful to everybody.
I wouldn't say harmful. I almost, Kevin. That's why I feel like the market is just like less interested. Like, I don't know why, but there's less kids into science videos than there were in like 2016 when we were starting to make science videos.
Probably.
You know? It's almost like our...
I don't know.
I'm not saying there's no kids. I'm just saying it feels like there's less kids. And I don't know if it's like a saturation on YouTube. Like what do people watch now? Like when we started, there wasn't like short form content. It was like Dancely or Dance. What was it? What was TikTok? Dance?
Musical.ly.
Oh.
Because I remember when like Chelsea, like her students years ago, that's what they were into was Musical.ly.
Didn't that just become TikTok?
It became TikTok. Yeah. And so I feel like maybe just kids are being pulled into like other stuff because short form content works better for their underdeveloped brains.
Yes.
And then they are less interested in stuff like science and engineering because it's a slightly slower topic. Because it's not like a disaster. It just feels like there's nothing coming up. Or the videos that do well are kind of like cream of the crop. And then you don't end up like... I can't think of any channels that have sort of like popped off. It's almost like videos that have popped off. Like, am I crazy or am I missing something?
No, I mean, that seems right. I mean, I can name some people, but it's probably just, you know, the people that rose to the top.
Yeah, but are they like...
But it's not, I don't think there's as many of them as there used to be.
Yeah. Because I feel like all the science creators are like kind of old.
Yeah, I was going to say Chroma, the guy from our Discord server. He's, I think, doing pretty well.
Consistently?
Backwoods.
Cigars? The cigar company?
No, the guy on the Discord channel.
But like the one video does well, or the channel's doing well?
I don't know. They haven't posted enough to really...
See, that's what I'm getting at, is it kind of feels like it's maybe a little more like you make a video and then it does well algorithmically.
Yeah.
As opposed to... Because that's like, I think,
because people don't maybe follow... Mm-hmm. you as much anymore just for like your content. It's maybe more for like, or not for, I don't know. Cause you know, you watch somebody maybe because you just think they're funny and you like them in general.
Right.
And you don't necessarily care what they're doing versus like people that who only care about you if you're doing something cool.
Right.
That you're interested in.
Like just the title thumbnail.
Yeah.
Cause we used to run like it's not really a management company, but like we used to, so what, 2018? Remember like ads, like getting ads sponsors for videos was a nightmare.
Yeah.
There were like a handful of companies doing it and you're like, you know, it's a
they would always try to rip you off.
I don't think they were trying. I think they were.
They
actually
were,
ripping you off. And we were so frustrated with it. And then I met some people that were trying to do it themselves. And so we started our own small company that would like connect brands to creators. And it was mostly science creators.
Yeah.
And it was great because we knew exactly what was happening. It was like we knew. And so it was essentially like there would be a deal. The company would take a percentage of the money and that paid for the it was kind of like a co-op. Like the company never made money, but it paid salaries of like the three people working for it. And then we got brand deals, not feeling like we were getting screwed over by a company.
Yeah.
Because you knew it was like transparent. Like you knew what was happening.
So like what these companies would do back in the day is number, dude. I had no idea how much I was getting ripped off until you started this like Excel sheet where everybody could put in the brand and how much money they were offering.
So it was like me, the Hacksmith, Peter Sreeple, you, Alan, who else? It was kind of
I don't remember.
Styro eventually, yeah.
But we were putting in these, you know, I came into this and I'm like, oh my God, you guys are making like, you know, $4,000 or $5,000, I think.
For a video, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, people are offering me like, you know, $1,000 or $2,000.
Yeah.
And then like a year or two after that, I was talking to Mark Rober and he's like, bro, you're making like $5,000 an ad read. You're being ripped off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean? And he told me how much he was making.
Yeah. And that's like, if you back calculate it, like the easiest way to calculate like how much money you could make
is
by just figuring out how much money it would cost.
So it's like these companies would have been paying you this much.
Yeah. But you have to negotiate. You have to like.
You have to. It's like we had no idea. Like we were like orders of magnitude off of what we should have been making.
So that's what I was trying to describe in that sheet was like if a company was to like make an advertisement, they would have to pay for the production.
Yeah.
They would have to pay for the talent. They would have to pay for the endorsement. They would have to pay for the runtime. And if you go to try run, you know, and run ads yourself on videos, because you could do this right now. You could go upload a video to YouTube and run it as an ad.
Yeah.
And that will then, you know, you will pay money and YouTube will distribute it in front of other people's ads. Or sorry, videos. And then...
And if you pay enough money in front of other people's ads too.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's bidding.
And so you end up with a situation where you will literally pay for views and you can come to a very quick conclusion of what that cost is.
Yeah.
And so then a portion of that money gets paid to the person whose video the ad was played on. But you can pretty much back calculate like the amount of money it would cost to get 10,000 views on a video. It's very expensive. It's like very, very, very expensive. And so we were running this agency because we knew that like I was getting screwed. Other people were getting screwed. And like, this is stupid. Like we should just, you know, form like a co-op, which is what we did. And the co-op like basically stopped working the past, you know, 4 years because the number of videos people were posting has gone down. So like, you know, I think like you've slowed down. I've slowed down. Like Michael slowed down. Like everyone has slowed down on posting. Alan, like everybody has slowed down. And it's not like somebody came in to fill the void. And I'm like trying to figure out, I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, why is everyone so afraid to post videos? And that's what makes me feel like there's less appeal. And so people are afraid to post videos that aren't just perfect. Like every video is a banger.
Yeah.
Because it definitely feels like the titles and thumbnails are the only thing that drive success of a video in the way that they used to. Like you could have a community.
It's like I feel like people care less about me than they do about my content, so it's like I just have to keep the facade up by only giving them cool content.
I mean, it's not, when you say it like that, it sounds weird, but like, but it does make it easier to make videos about stuff you want to make videos about without having to cater to this, you know, title thumbnail game. Because everyone gets so mad about titles and thumbnails. I feel like Nigel accidentally came into like the perfect title thumbnail format. But for us, it's like, I did a this thing or a that thing. And if people aren't interested in it, then they're not going to watch it. And I think that was a little different back in the day.
Yeah, back like, in the day, people would watch any silly little thing you did.
They were interested in what you were interested in.
What, yeah, exactly.
And now they're only interested in what they are interested in. And if you don't appeal to that, the video will do worse. And I'm pretty sure that is what has killed the posting frequency of a lot of these channels. Is that they feel like more pressure, and so they go slower and they drag their feet and they procrastinate more. I mean,
And there's also I mean, it's totally supported by our the evidence of doing that. It's like it works, right? Yeah. Like you get more views on videos, but at what cost?
And so this is actually really good news for everybody that wants to start a YouTube channel, because it means you don't need to have previous success. You just need to have a title and thumbnail that appeals to a mass audience. And will get viewed.
The one con I was going to say is, which I've realized in myself, which is I'm actually trying to go against it now.
Yeah, you're fighting.
I'm fighting myself.
The good fight.
Well, it's when you started YouTube, because I think it's pretty fair to say this about all science creators, just across the board. When you start, your priority is finishing the project and getting a video out. Like you're kind of like more interested in getting the video out. And the project you're doing is important, but also, I don't know, your priority is getting a video out.
Yeah, you have to get far enough along for it to feel like you did it, and then that's good enough.
And that's good enough.
Yeah.
Like, you're always looking for that point where you're like, it's good enough. So, as an example, it's like, if I would, early in the days, I would just kind of, like, rig something up quickly. If it needed to be black, I would just spray paint it really fast. Maybe not even, like whatever. Just like
it's going in the trash thing. After this. Yeah.
Like you don't care if you can see the wood grain behind it or something like that.
Yeah. It's like you're prioritizing, how can I just do the science? It doesn't have to be, you know, this, you're not thinking too deeply about presentation, but it's like, as you do more projects, and let's say you did one day decide, at first you didn't care. You didn't even color it. Then one day you did decide to spray paint it and it looked pretty good. The next time you do something similar, you're like, well, I have to spray paint it. But then it can even be worse where you now do something else and go, oh, well, it's way better when it's brush painted. And you just start adding all these layers.
Oh, I should put some clear epoxy on it, too.
I should fill in the holes with Bondo.
Yeah.
But part of this, in my opinion, is when you started, you didn't have the finances to do that. You're kind of like, my budget is $42 and the spray paint is $12.
I remember.
I'm not buying spray paint.
I remember asking Simone. I was like, like, when do you ask a company for free product? Like, when do you email them and she and like ask them for something for free? And she was like, well, if it's maybe more than like $300. And I was like, bro, I'm sitting here looking at like $30 stuff trying to get it for free from companies.
Yeah.
But it's like the idea I found was as the budget went up, I was like, oh, I can afford the spray paint. Oh, yeah. I could take the extra day to make it look nice. And it, you keep doing that. And before you know it, that extra 2 hours became a day, became a week. And even worse, you're like, I could, you know what? To get the perfect weather outside, it's a little bit cloudy. I'll wait till the sunny day. It's like somehow you're like so able to just wait for these things. Whereas in the past, if it wasn't nice out, if it was raining, I'm like, oh, I'll just like set up a crappy tarp. I don't even care about the sound. Like, yeah. I'll just make sure I film it. So it's like your priority was so much getting the project done. Whereas over time it became like, I don't know, like your little wants of like your little kind of like,
yeah
you start privileged. Getting satisfaction.
Yeah, you start learning maybe things. What works.
Yeah.
Like even on the second channel, this is so funny to me. Like it's such like a monkey brain thing. I've noticed that greener thumbnails do slightly better.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So, like, I literally like we will like if it's nice outside, like we'll try to like get a couple of shots where we're going to be like nice and green with the blue sky because a colder thumbnail or like night or something will do worse. The daytime,
but here's the thing.
Green thumbnails with blue
it's
sky.
Happy, man.
Exactly. Like, it's just but monkey when you, brain shit.
When you started, or at least I did this, I chose title and thumbnail while the video was uploading. Yes. I would just, like, drop it in the uploader and be like, I gotta make a thumbnail. Yeah. But either way, my point in saying all of this is that that is not how you make a good video. You have to think about your title thumbnail before. Otherwise, your video has no, like, direction. But you can't get lost in the weeds on like those tiny little details. So it's like where I'm trying to pull back. I'm trying to. And like, one example I have is like the bulletproof wood video I made where it literally took me like, I think 2 months to go and just shoot the wood because I was like, oh, I want to hit the center of the wood with the bullet. I need consistency.
Were you like
so
practicing
I literally bought
at a range to get good?
No. So what happened was I spent
2 months training.
No, I didn't. So I bought. I literally bought.
I could only make this much wood.
I literally bought a gun sled that you could like mount the gun on, and I was like
full
okay,
sniper mode.
I'm gonna like put like a laser thing. I'm gonna try to like.
peak so, Nigel.
Yeah. No, but because I
know what
wanted.
Peter would do. He would just sit out there like. Like full.
I always ask myself, what would Peter do?
But my point in saying
shoot
this
with
is
a shotgun, so you're gonna hit it.
There were so many little details that I was thinking of, which delayed it by like a month or two. Actually, the hardest part was finding a place to shoot. But besides that, all these little details of how I wanted the presentation to go delayed it until one day. I don't know what happened. I was talking to someone about like these problems, and I'm like, you know what? I don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stick this piece of wood and I'm just going to shoot it. And guess what? I've shot this gun. Before I shoot it, I'm going to do 2 practice shots to make sure that I kind of have an idea of how to shoot it. And I don't even think I did a practice shot now that I think of it. I think I straight up loaded the gun and which
hit
is
it,
what we saw
on
camera.
On your first try.
I just loaded it and I'm like, I'm just going to use the iron sights. And if I miss, I miss. That's
what
it.
Peter
I was like,
they work
so,
fine.
But the thing is, the first time I did it, I hit it and it was like perfectly centered. The second time or the third time I shot it, one of them, I actually hit the edge.
Why don't you just get closer
but I'm like,
to it?
Whatever. Well, I was afraid of a ricochet.
It wouldn't look
because,
as
you know,
cool.
Oh,
you thought your bulletproof wood was that good?
Was too good, right? I was afraid I was too good. But either way, my point in saying all of this is like, I find that it's really normal to kind of, once you fix a problem, it's like painful to, it feels like regression when And a dumb example for me is like when I always had like a crappy cell phone, I was always like, these smartphones are stupid. You don't need that. I then got like one of the flagship Samsungs and it was so fast that I'm like, I can never go back.
Yeah.
It's like that, but that's in video production. Like you get so used to things, these little things you like, that going back feels painful. But before you know it, you're just like, you never post anything.
You know,
so it's like, how do you, sorry?
You know what helps the most?
What?
There's one trick. There's one thing that will help.
With what?
With getting videos out frequently. Okay. Having to do it every single week.
Yeah.
It's having,
if you have a deadline and you have to do it, bro, you will cut all the corners you need to cut to get it done.
But I think the thing that I was kind of alluding to before is there is this sweet spot as a creator where you don't make enough money to feel secure, but you make enough money to feel like you can do that as your job.
Yeah.
The part though is once you tip over, and I always remember this, I tipped over the edge of if the sponsor makes me really mad, I'll just be like, or if they annoy me, I'll just be like, you know what? I'm just not doing an ad this video. Like the moment that I was like, you know what? I can even take a loss on this video and I'll recover. And that stress of I have to make money or else I'm like bankrupt. The moment that existential fear went away was when you start giving yourself a lot of slack.
Yeah.
And so what I kind of want to have that existential fear to come back to
give
be
me,
like,
give me your money for, give me 20% of your income for OpenSize.
Well, so my way of doing it is,
tithe,
what you
please.
Have to do is kind of what I tried to do is I was like, I'm going to work on some big projects that cost a lot of money.
No,
if
give
I
me
don't,
your money.
Like, that if I don't get it done, I'll just lose a lot of money.
Yeah. No. Oh, you had it. Yes.
I think the better way to look at it, though, is because you obviously don't want to go back. I remember how mentally painful it was to always think that, like, if this video doesn't do well, then you kind of have to, like, quit YouTube. The way to go back is just for, like, mental health reasons, where it's, like, it just feels better when you don't spend 3 weeks going back and forth on a useless detail that no one cares about. It just feels good. So it's, like, kind of prioritizing feeling like you're actually moving forward in a project and getting things done. And that's just better for you and the audience because then they actually get a video that doesn't take 6 months to make.
You want to know my probably biggest advice that I would give to people trying to make YouTube videos now? It's actually not even probably. It's 100% my biggest, probably the most valuable advice that you could get making videos right now is because of that title thumbnail problem, right? Where like every video is a banger, where if you post a video and it's not a banger, it won't do well.
Okay.
How do you combat that?
By just videos not doing great and just post consistently.
I think that being okay with your videos not doing great is not quite the right answer. I think that a longer form story. So what are shows you're watching right now?
Black Mirror.
Are you watching anything, Nigel?
I just finished season one of Severance.
Why do you come into the next episode?
Just as like a fundamental question.
Yeah, like do you wait until what platform is that on?
It was on Apple TV.
So you're watching Apple TV. Do you wait? Like, do you just turn your TV on and it recommends it to you and then you click on it?
I kind of don't watch many shows, so that was like the only thing I was watching.
But how do you get to it when you go to watch it?
It's actually linked through Prime.
No, but I'm saying like,
yes, I'm seeking it out.
He seeks it out because he wants to watch it.
Do you seek it out?
Yeah, because it's the only show I was watching.
Okay, how many YouTube channels do you seek out?
None.
Why? None. Why?
Because of the YouTube algorithm.
Why do you seek out Severance, but you don't seek out any YouTube channel?
Oh, that's it. I maybe I shouldn't say I don't seek out YouTube channels. Like, what better way I'd say it is,
who's a YouTuber
on the
that's
daily,
posting this week, this next month that you're waiting for their video?
None.
Okay, why?
No, but just what I was going to say was I don't seek out on the daily, but if like 2 weeks pass and let's say, you know, I hate to admit it, but I watch your videos. You know, it's a very shameful admission. I like you. I like your farmer adventures. Like, if I didn't see one of your videos pop up, I would be like, did he just stop posting videos? And I would look. But yeah. YouTube is so good at just literally throwing it in my face that
why
until.
Do you seek it? But why do you have that thought process?
What do you mean?
Like
even
why would
it?
You think about the second channel?
I don't know.
There's a long-term narrative.
Yeah.
That's what TV shows are. It's a long-form narrative where between every episode, there's a story happening
You
know, between them, between all of them. Like,
and you want to know what's going to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like you have a story at the first episode and you have kind of a conclusion at the last episode. And then in between the first and second, there's a story. In the first, there's a story. In the first quarter, there's a story. Like there's all these stories that you are like interested in seeing. And like, that's something that I was sitting down thinking, like, why am I watching these like absolutely garbage, like Japanese cartoons? I don't even want to say anime. Like they're trash. They're absolute trash. Like they're genuinely some of the worst shows I've ever watched in my entire life. And I will walk away from them.
Yeah.
But like,
you're still curious about like, where's this going?
The bar is so much lower because it's consistent. Every week, an episode will come out. Every week, there's like some addition to the story, and you know that it'll probably conclude at the end. And it's like, I trust that it will be good enough, and I trust that it will answer any of the questions that I have. And it like gets my curiosity. I want to know like what happens. Mm-hmm. And nobody on YouTube does that.
There are some.
Who?
There are shows, right, on YouTube, like jet lag kind of stuff.
Yeah, right.
But besides that, like no science creators anything like that.
I think
I'm going to be honest.
It's
the
more
second
of a vlog kind
of
thing.
Should not do as well as the second channel does. And I think that anyone that's trying to make videos should investigate that deeply and figure out why.
I think because really what that is, it's like a slice of life of a maker kind of person, right?
Yeah,
so
but
you
what's
get,
the goal? Why would they want to come back?
Well, because they get something out of the videos that they like.
Okay, so I can explain it to you. You do have ongoing stuff like with the chickens and, you know, you're trying to grow stuff. Like you are actively doing stuff that doesn't have
What's the last video you watched?
I was watching it before the
recent one.
The problem was I almost always watch them on the computer, so I actually see it. Whereas this one I was listening to today, so I don't have visuals. I think you're talking about chickens being attacked or something.
Yeah. So that's like if you miss an episode, you're like, what happened to the chickens or what happened? Like even planting the seeds that were sent on the unboxing.
It's like, oh, they're going to release the chickens into the yard. Like they have to make sure there's no coyotes.
Exactly.
I wonder what happened to them.
Like that seed, you know, because that plant is going to grow, hopefully.
You literally planted seeds.
Right.
I mean.
And it's like, well, what's going to happen? Like, is the seed going to grow? Like there's all these like interwoven continuations, like these storylines that are like, you know, tagged into everything, like the compost stuff. Like the compost stuff started longer before, like long ago, like longer before we actually started showing in the videos to make sure that it was actually going in that direction. And it's like, it's all real. Like they're all like, we're going to get like this obscenely large amount of compost delivered.
Oh, I wish that was fake.
I know. I wish it was fake too. But like the whole point of like sharing it and talking about it is because it's not going to happen right now. It's going to happen in like some period of time in like the next couple of months. But people are like, oh, whatever happened with that compost?
Yeah.
Like it's basically trying to set up progression to like tell the story of like what the goal is and what we're trying to do to achieve that goal. And so even like I was talking to one of my friends and he was like, oh, you should just at the beginning of every video, you should just say what you're trying to do. Like a TV show would do. And so every episode starts with me just saying like my dream is to grow 1 million sunflowers, right? So it's like you come into this video and you're like, oh, this guy's trying to grow sunflowers, but then there's all these other things going on. But you feel like the instant there's a field of sunflowers is going to be a huge moment.
Yeah.
And like even if you don't watch the next month the videos, you're gonna be like, oh, did that guy ever grow his sunflowers?
So I have a comment to make about that though. I think that I was just thinking about this as you were saying that. I think the viewership and the way that people watch YouTube videos has just obviously changed. And kind of like how I said, like, I don't seek out anything. When I at least see, like, for example, your second channel videos pop up, I think it's just the bar for why people watch stuff is, at least with the algorithm, maybe just, like, different, I guess, than, I think it's different than shows. Because it's like, if I see your videos, I find, when I watch them, I'm entertained. So when they pop up,
this is a huge win.
Yeah. So it's like when they pop up, it's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. I feel like a lot of the way that
it's a safe choice.
Projecting. Yeah. It's like, I'm projecting my way of doing things on, like, you know, how everyone else does. But I think that's just how people are, where it's like, you just stick to it, right? Like, it's easier to watch, you know, the another episode in the same show than it is for someone to be like, hey, you want to start this new show?
Right.
So it's like, when if I go, hey, the last episode or the whatever, let's say, I don't know, South Park or something. I don't know why I thought about that. If I'm like, oh, I like that show. And someone's like, hey, you want to watch a random episode that you haven't seen before? I'm like, sure, why not? And I feel like it's kind of the same thing, where it's like, you felt the last one delivered what you wanted. The bar wasn't, you didn't need to have a life-changing experience. So you'll keep clicking on those videos until they consistently don't deliver that to you.
I'll try to reframe. I think that the second channel only has to prove itself once. It only has to convince the viewer once, whereas every video on the main channel has to convince every viewer every single time. So, like, you have to use the title and thumbnail and the intro to convince somebody to stay in this video. But whereas the second channel, you don't have to use the title, thumbnail, and intro to convince the audience to stay in the video.
So, I guess
that's the nightmare is every main channel video, you have to come up with something people want to watch.
Yeah.
But the second channel, you just have to do what you've already told people you know are going to do.
I guess it's the and you can I do guess a lot it's of different the direction.
You can do different things now, yeah.
To me, it's like the two different audiences you're going for. It's like, if you want high views, you have to convince an audience of people who don't care about you that they should watch you. And that's very title thumbnail. Whereas, like, the low level one is people who already know you. The convincing's less. And it might be a dumb example, but it's like, if, you know, a friend of mine goes, hey, you want to go just get some food? He doesn't really have to pitch it too hard. Very lightly, I could be like, yeah, sure, I'm down. But if, like, a random dude just messages me that I barely know, it's like, you know, I'm going to have to be in, like, a certain mood and feel like I'm kind of convinced as to why it's worth this risk, because it might be a terrible time. So I find that, like, if people watch a lot of your second channel videos and they're like, I'm just down to see Kevin and Will, like, mess around on a farm, the threshold's lower, but you're not going to get, like, 35 million views on that video. But if you want 35 million, you're
going
to have to really hard sell
it. Videos on the second channel than the main channel.
Yes.
Like, that's, that to me is like the, like, trying to escape the, that, the void of needing every single, you know, topic that you make a video on to be a banger, where you just spend more time trying to make the whole thing good enough and interesting rather than try to appease the, you know, generic audience on YouTube. Because I think that's where the nightmare comes from. Is trying to get, you know, several million people to click on a video and watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then I do actually like watching Hyperspace Pirates videos.
Yeah.
And
I like his too. Yeah.
Breaking Taps. I've been, you know, I do check in to see what they're up to.
It's always, I find,
pretty much everything they make is cool.
Yeah.
So. Are they, but I do find there's projects,
Hyperspace Pirate is.
Right.
Yeah.
There's just always that split off where we talked about this before, kind of, or I don't know if it was on the podcast or just before it. Where it's like, if you go, okay, I can spend, you know, grind away for a month or two and get a 6 million view video, or I can in a day do something.
Just
and
turn
get,
on the
like,
camera and
say,
do something that I want to do.
Let's say a 500K video. And you're like, okay, theoretically, the other one's 12 of those videos. But it's like, was it 12 times the stress? It's like, in 2 months, I could probably make 12 videos. Yeah. So it ends up being, though, it's like just trying to figure out what time, where your time is optimally spent. But then also, like, those two different types of videos do deliver something different. Like, you making an X-ray machine and doing all that stuff is definitely something that you probably want. It's worth doing.
My bet,
not just for, like, sheer view count.
I have a bet like if I had to put my money on this, I would say the future of the platform is like, I would say anyone that can figure out how to do more of a long-term narrative about something. And I'm not saying like I'm building a scanning electron microscope. Yeah, come check in. Like
part one of eight or something.
Right. Like I think aging part one of 99. I love this where like aging wheels, I like his videos, but the narrative is about just like fixing a car, which I'm less invested in. So it's like I think if you have, you know, if you're trying to figure out how to make stuff on YouTube, listening to this, I think if there is a long-term problem you're trying to solve and like building something as a part of that narrative, like, yeah. I think there's, you know, I feel like I've tried to get a couple people to go in this direction, like Alex Ernst sort of.
Oh, it's yeah.
Like, you know, you.
He's a great candidate.
He's
for
a
it.
Great candidate for this kind of topic of like, oh, I want a house. So I'm going to buy a piece of land and build a really shitty house on it is like a very relatable narrative of, well, how do I live for cheap? Because, you know, your parents used to, you know, single father could buy a house for a nickel in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's worth $10 million kind of shit.
And everybody watching it's going to have their own ideas on how to do it. You know, he's like this kid that's never done this before going to do it. It is very like,
right.
Yeah. Relatable in that sense too.
I feel like if you want, I mean, engineering videos are cool, but I think if you can sort of intertwine engineering stuff into like a more real narrative that you see on like a show, that's where my money is for sort of the next YouTube channel. That's why you see so much stuff doing well that's not engineering, is it's more like either parasocial or, you know, like those problem solvings that are more relatable, or it's like, I need to
just some kind of like vlog, you know,
living their life,
slice kinda. Of life, but it's like there's like naturally a story in that's overarching. It's like,
because the story about building a machine seems to be a lot less appealing than it used to be on two people on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's like a story where you're trying to fix something in your life and you have to build a machine to do that, but then it focuses on all the other parts of that, I think would do really well. Like, I mean, I need ideas for the rat tribe video, right? So we had like rats chew through the water lines. So I'm like pissed at the rats, right? Because that caused, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in damage. They chewed through thank God the walls weren't closed, but they chewed through the PEX lines and it flooded the bathroom. And so it's like, I'm mad at these rats. I need to frick these rats up, right? Like, that's a real problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, other people have problems with rats. And so it's like engineer versus rats. And then in the video, it's like, the rats fricked my shit up. I'm going to frick the rats shit up. So like, you guys gave me ideas for rat traps, and then it's just the most heinous rat traps you've ever seen. War crime rat traps, right? Because there's this narrative that like, I'm mad at the rats. I need to make the rats go away. They cost me a bunch of money. And so I'm going to like just freaking kill these rats in the most horrible way possible. Like, you can't actually do that. So we'll just test like the machines with like something other than a rat, but like a gerbil or something cheap. You know what I'm saying though?
Gummy
like
rat.
It's like, there's this kind of like, I feel like Nigel's videos are very much this like naturally curious, like, oh, here's this cool thing.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know the answer to
so
that.
So it could be kind of his journey about the, you know,
right.
The electron microscope.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure that's a good one, but I think like the pop rocks is a good one, right? Cause like, I remember like, I always, every time I'm trying to like start a video or make an intro for it, I go and watch a bunch of stuff to see what everyone else did. And you're just like, I like pop rocks, but the problem with pop rocks is they're not like poppy enough. Is literally what you say.
Yeah,
that is good.
And it's like, okay, cool. Like, that's enough of an understanding of why you're doing this. But for an electron microscope, you're like, I really like electron microscope. You know, like, it is, what is the thing there? Like,
all right. So well, right now we're at 1 hour and 20 minutes. Are we gonna do a Patreon?
We should do.
One?
We should do an extra.
All right. Well, before we do an extra, I want to show you something.
Oh God!
I also want to ask you
made
one
these
question
for
Kevin.
Open Source. Here, you can have that one.
Hmm. Are these laser cut?
Yeah. Let's see if it focuses.
Wait, is this from the pallet strap?
Yeah, yeah. So at the metal yard, they just give these away for free. It's like all the old like metal.
I saw that. I saw one on the couch, and I was like, I feel like Kevin is saving that.
My couch?
No, the couch outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I didn't throw it away.
Thank you.
I had a
Thank
suspicion.
You.
I was like, that's like spring steel or whatever.
It is. It's spring steel. So
like
I,
shitty
I,
spring steel.
Yeah.
What does it
so
do?
You can't see it on camera. It's not focusing. No. But it's like a little lock pick set that you can put in your wallet. Like, it's credit card size.
Does this count as a lock pick?
Not until you pop them out.
I feel like that might actually be.
But how does cool. it, like, it, do when they pop out, you can you put them back in?
No, it's like a little sprues and like a plastic model set.
Do you see what it says up top?
Open seam?
Open sesame.
Open sesame. Oh, the eye is kind of cursed. Open sesame. That's funny.
Here, also, I got you a lock.
So dude, I don't think I can actually pick
So I'm going to give these out to people at Open Sauce, I think.
Bro, when you handed this to me, dirt poured out of the keel.
So like, you know how they do the little creator rooms? I'm going to give these to people.
The discussions.
Yeah,
with,
yeah. And anybody from the Discord that I meet, I'm going to give them one of these.
How long does it take to cut them?
Like 45 seconds.
Actually, the worst part, too, is that you have to like feed the fucking pallet strap through.
I made a jig.
Oh, you did make a jig to do it?
So it sits perfectly on the has like does holes it cut, that go on the slab.
You do a whole string of them or you cut one at a time?
Right now it's just one. Okay. And then you just like push it forward.
Bro, now you're like CNC min-maxing.
Yeah.
That's a whole genre of engineering.
I should be making videos.
That's how I know.
But I'm like, oh, this will only take like a few minutes. It'll take three hours.
Dude, that to me is a short. Is you made one of these, but now you want to make a bunch. So it's like, no one gives a shit about making one, but like the interesting part is like, how do you go from one to cutting out 100 of them?
Oh yeah, like that pipeline?
Yeah. It's like the lemonade stand. Like, I love the lemonade stand. Like, I want to make a, like, everyone wants to start a business. And then it's like, well, how do you make your business better, right? Like, how do you go from making one to, like, automating it? Maybe that's just me. I love automation.
You know what I would do? I would just buy a big sheet of spring. I think the end conclusion is buying a big sheet of spring steel.
Yeah, but then you see how expensive it is, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm being so cheap right now. This is free from the metal yard, and there's like, you know, thousands of feet of it.
Dude, if you give them, I was going to say, yeah, you probably don't even need to give them one of these. They'll just give you their free trash.
Yeah, they do.
Kevin, I had a question.
Yes.
Before, I mean, we don't have much time left, but you said you had questions about, I don't know if it was on camera, but you said you had questions about my travels.
Oh yeah. We talk about that on the Patreon.
I mean, you can mention it here. I guess I don't know
what happened.
I was gonna say, did you eat a bunch of movie theater nachos too, and that's why you're sick? Or
movie? Where did you catch it
in Brazil?
No. Whatever disease I have.
Did you just get back?
Oh, I was there for like 8 days.
Oh, okay.
You did. It felt like 2 weeks to you, though.
Dude, I bet that was a nice vacation. What were you doing?
Trying to get away from the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually,
Did you feel safer in Brazil or Canada?
I felt, I feel like when I initially, because it's my third time going to Sao Paulo. And when I first went there, obviously I'm like, I've never been to South America, so I was just like hesitant, but I feel like this time I felt fine. I might have been too comfortable.
Yeah, you didn't get robbed or no?
Oh man, not yet.
I would rob you.
But yeah,
or we should talk about it on the extra podcast.
Wait, no, why were you there though?
Yeah, sorry. I was visiting my girlfriend.
Whoa!
Just watch the views on his videos just tanked.
No.
Wait,
yeah, there's only one reason people watch your videos.
This means I don't have a chance anymore.
Oh, no, Kevin. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
No, yeah, she lives in Sao Paulo.
Stop giving you money every month.
But I feel like I this time was kind of bad in the sense that I feel like in the other times I tried to blend in, but I was too comfortable. So there was like a couple times where I feel like I screeched in public.
What are they? Do they speak Spanish? Like just,
why do you screech in public?
Brazilian? Is Brazilian a language? I speak
Portuguese.
I knew. Portuguese. I'm like,
how do you say it, Nigel? Say it like you're Brazilian.
I am so ashamed of my ability to speak Portuguese that I will abstain.
How close is Portuguese to Spanish?
It's close. Yeah. Like, basically, if you're fluent in one or the other, you will probably understand the person, but it would be not ideal. In my mind it's like Spanish.
It's like Spanish, but it sounds like you slur a lot of your words.
Okay. My opinion, it would be like you are a native English speaker hearing somebody who is, it's their second or third language as English.
Their second or third
and
drink.
they make a lot of mistakes, and you're kind of like filling in a lot of the gaps of what they're saying. You're like, oh yeah, that word's good. Okay, I don't really know it half the sentence what they said, but I get the gist of what you're trying to say because I think it's like, I don't know what percent, like 40% of the words are the same or something, but pronounced differently.
Like vocabulary.
So if you like use a lot of brain power, you can like fill in the gaps. I made up that 40%. I don't know what it is, but it's all a large percentage.
Tell us about, we're going to go do the safety third extra now. So tell us all about your trip and your beautiful, I'm assuming, girlfriend.
Wait.
I mean, I know she's a girl, but I'm just assuming that she's.
Should never assume.
Well, I mean, look at Nigel.
I don't know the opposite of assuming. He is.
Yeah, no, she's very beautiful.
Yes. So let's talk about it on the extra.
But you said it wrong, Kevin. You said you're beautiful and I'm assuming girlfriend.
Yeah, we barely heard anything.
Yeah, I don't know. So.
All right, thank you to everybody who supports the Safety Third podcast. If you want an extra podcast every week, you can head on over to our Patreon linked in the description below. It's not that expensive. And it's like $5 at the minimum, it's cheapest. Mm-hmm. And every week you get an extra. And Kevin does video calls where you do show and tell and look at people's videos and tell them, give them feedback. Sometimes I
there's
come
game
in,
night too.
I pretty much work 12 hours a day.
I feel like Kevin's doing all the heavy lifting.
Kevin is doing heavy lifting. Yeah. That's why he's so strong. So we'll see you guys on Patreon right now. I love you. Say it, Nigel. Say it, Nigel.
Oh, no, I love them. I don't love you.
Oh, this is we're making progress.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.